Kids scream for my ice cream, and I scream for cash back on everything from sprinkles to super freezers, thanks to my Amex Blue Business Cash Card. Who wants a brain freeze?
Get 2% cash back on your first $50,000 per year in purchases, and 1% after that with an Amex Blue Business Cash Card. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Built for business by American Express.
Coming up on today's show, we're back for our first show of 2022, and CES is underway. We've got a recap of the biggest announcements. Good, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the What's Good Games podcast, your source for video game news, commentary, analysis, and funny stuff every Friday. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by my lovely co-host, Miss Brittany Brombacher.
Happy New Year, Andrea Renee.
Happy New Year to you, too. It's so good to see you again.
No, it's been forever, like 2.5 weeks. So good to see your lovely face, your lovely hair, and that lovely shirt you're wearing. Which I think
is such
an important message going into the new year. It says, note to self, you are doing great. Fucking amen.
Yes. I saw it and I was like, do I need this shirt? No. Do I want this shirt to make myself feel better? Yes, I do.
Yep. I'm all for it. All for it.
Sometimes you just need a little pep talk for yourself when you wake up in the morning and you're on the struggle bus and you have to give yourself credit for the little accomplishments.
Yeah.
Maybe your accomplishment for the day was that you made the bed. Or maybe your accomplishment was that you actually put on clothes instead of just wore your pajamas all day. You know, give yourself the little wins, everybody. Life is hard right now. So.
Yes. And if you're on youtube.com/whatsgoodgames, you might be like, Britt, what are you doing? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you notice, my background's a little odd right now. And the reason for that is, Andrea, just me being the pro she is. Look at that. I, over the weekend, decided to hop on my computer, which I hadn't done all break. Good for me. That was my win. And I discovered that I think it's 4 out of the 5 display ports on my PC, or 3 out of 4, whatever. All but one died, fried, went to port heaven in the sky. I have a new GPU on the way. That's computer talk. That's computer lingo. I'm learning.
We're going to be talking about GPUs.
We are. So that's why I have one monitor working, and it's my crappiest monitor that I have. But, you know, I'm making it work. I told Andrea if my neck
starts
peeking during the show, just to check on me.
Well, listen, nothing can be as bad as what happened to the video on the last episode.
That was so brilliant.
So apologies to everybody who had to suffer through that. At youtube.com/whatsgoodgames. As I wrote in the text of the edit, the computer, while we were recording with Danny and Rihanna, just completely hard crashed. The whole computer just shut down in the middle of recording. Literally in all of the years and all of the episodes, episode 257 today, of us recording What's Good Games, that has never happened before.
We've always been scared of it happening.
Yes.
But it never happened.
Never did, but it did. And then I was miraculously, with this bootleg program, able to recover the file. But as you may have noticed, if you watched it on YouTube, it was a little weird looking.
It legit something out of a horror
movie.
The
frame rate got really borked when I tried to recover the video. Thankfully, the audio came out clean, but the video, might want to just skip it. Anywho, welcome back, everybody. We are glad to be here. Thank you for supporting us in 2021. We are excited to start 2022 with a bang. As I mentioned at the top of the show, CES, the Consumer Electronics Show 2022, is underway. We're going to get to that news in just a second. I want to say thank you to this month's Patreon producers, Chewy's Godson, Alex Rogopoulos, David Icolucci, Farris Atea, Justin Foshi, Matthew Godere, and Punctified. And welcome to our Patreon community, Ryan Saffel and Eric Black. We thank you for supporting us at patreon.com/whatsgoodgames. And it looks like we have quite a nice little list of new podcast reviewers.
We do. Hold on. Let me get to it. There we are. There we are. Here we are.
Oh, yes.
My one monitor.
Would you like me to read?
I got it. I'm quick like a ninja. All right. We got Sean, What a Time 89, I'm Pro Joe, Bishboro, Cybex, Stevo 84, K Goodwin 83. Oh, you did this on purpose. ZBHDUFHDJ. So
It's not really a name.
Right? I know.
It looks like just a bunch of consonants.
Yeah, I tried to pronounce it. It did not come out well. Steve and Swagmaster 24/7, who says, my first episode was Steimer's solo show, so I have heard, quote, this is not a normal episode quite a few times, but I love it here, so keep not being normal. Thanks, Swagmaster. Thanks for sticking around.
That.
She rocked that episode, to be fair.
She did.
I've always told her she's really good at talking to herself, and that's a compliment. It doesn't sound like one, but it is.
I think she really became proficient at it when she was doing her Steimer Says Twitch streaming days.
Yeah.
Because when you solo stream, as people out there who stream know, you have to do a lot of talking to yourself.
Yeah. So no, she's good at it.
You get good at it. Well, thank you, everybody, for taking a moment of your day to support our show, either with your time or with your dollars. We really appreciate it. And today's show is also brought to you by HelloFresh, but we'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's jump right into the news. The biggest news, I think, so far for gaming from CES is, of course, from Sony. Now, I didn't anticipate us getting this PlayStation VR news at CES. I thought maybe they would hold it for the Game Developers Conference, which is happening in March. But Sony decided, nay, nay, let's go ahead and reveal PSVR 2 and our new controllers at the show. So let me just read a little blurb here for you guys from the PlayStation blog. They started 2022 by... Oh, sorry. This is just like an introduction from Hideaki Nishino. So we'll skip that. Going down here. Okay. PlayStation VR 2 adds true next-gen experience with high-fidelity visuals, new sensory features, and enhanced tracking along with a simplified single-cord setup. It has 4K HDR and a 110-degree field of view with foveated rendering. With an OLED display, players can expect display resolutions of 2000 by 2040 per eye and smooth frame rates of 90 to 120 hertz. It's got headset-based controller tracking, new sensory features, eye tracking, and it's going to have the PSVR simple setup process that you guys know from the PlayStation 4 with a single cable connected directly to your PS5, so you can immediately jump into your VR experience. So they also announced a brand new VR game from Guerrilla Games and Fire Sprite called Horizon Call of the Mountain. And let me see if I can pull up this trailer for you guys. This, of course, set in the Horizon Zero Dawn universe.
Yes.
And I'm pretty hyped. I've always had such great experiences playing in PlayStation VR. Now, I don't play a lot of VR anymore. And when I do, I usually am on my Quest because it's wireless. But clearly, the experiences that you're getting on Quest are not the visual quality that you're going to get from a hardwired virtual reality headset. What do you think, Britt? Is PSVR 2 enough to kind of get you back into virtual reality?
Well, first, Andrea, you said you weren't expecting a PSVR 2 announcement, but dare you forget last year when Jim Ryan came on stage and was like, PlayStation 5 logo reveal, and then he walked off stage. Do you remember that?
Yes.
They pulled another one. It was glorious. But anyway, going back to your question, you know, I think it's been enough time has passed where I haven't dabbled in VR, where I think I'm ready to jump back in and kind of see what technological advancements have been made. And I think PSVR 2 sounds like something I'm definitely going to get it. I know I can commit to that. Now, whether or not it's going to become another thing in my house that collects dust after a few months, who could say? But I think teasing this with a Horizon, you know, title is fucking brilliant. And I think being able to go in that world and look at the long necks and see, you know, from that perspective what it looks like is incredibly exciting. And I just kind of want to see, again, like how far VR has come since I played it last. And the last headset I played on was just the original Oculus Quest. And I was an adopter in the early days. You know, I got all the first Vive, the first Oculus, and the first PSVR. And I enjoyed them, but it wasn't something that I spent a ton of time with just because of, again, the technical limitations and... you know, I've always said I'm anxiously awaiting the day where it's just super seamless and super just like HD in your eyeballs and your brains. And I think the single cord setup, while it's not ideal, if that's all it takes, we all know what PSVR takes. And while it wasn't hard, it was complicated to get that thing set up. So much so mm-hmm. that I think you also did this. I had a PlayStation 4 set up just for the PSVR, so I wouldn't have to go back yes. there. Yeah, because you almost had to because it was such a pain in the ass. So I'm okay with the single cord. I know we're not exactly where we want to be yet. Someday we'd love it if all headsets are just Quest-like where they're wireless. But I'm excited. I think this will be fun. And I'm just, you know, excited to see what other games come to PSVR too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're going to see a lot of third-party games coming to PSVR to as well as companion games, because I think that the, you know, Sony first party studio portfolio has been crushing it in the last couple of years. And I think we're just beginning to kind of see what they have in store for this new generation for PS5, because it feels a little weird that PS5 has only been around for 1 year. And I think a lot of that has to do with that we haven't gotten a lot of PS5 specific games or even Xbox Series X specific games. A lot of it's still been generational crossover, which is normal for the beginning of a new generation. Mm-hmm. And I expect we'll have crossover games for the next couple of years. But I'm excited to see where things are going to go. Sony also unveiled new controllers. So these kind of look a lot like the Vive controllers. Mm-hmm. So let me pull those up so you guys can take a look at those. So these are the new controllers. They look very futuristic. So they kind of fit over your hand. So you're no longer using
it. Looks like a thong.
Move controllers. Like, it does kind of look like a thong.
Yeah, right? It looks like you're grabbing a big old fistful of booty. That's kind of what it reminds me of. It's nice.
Of course you would think. Fistful of booty. Oh, I love you. So there are several features, including key features that we found on the DualSense controllers that match what, you know, Sony's vision for the next kind of generation of virtual reality is going to be. So we have adaptive triggers, haptic feedback, finger touch detection, and tracking, which, as I mentioned, we've seen in not only the Vive controllers, but in the Oculus controllers as well. Then you got your traditional sticks, your action buttons, your analog sticks, your triangle, square, or excuse me, cross. I was about to say X.
Oh, it's X. You can say X. Don't get mad.
Cross and circle buttons. I'm never going to call it cross. It's
no.
not a cross. It's, oh, an,
it's
X.
An X. Psh, fools.
It's fine.
Fools.
But yeah, so I'm glad that they have upgraded the controllers. Now, what we didn't get yesterday during the announcement was a release date, and we didn't get a price.
Yeah. So price. I mean, it can't cost more than a PS5 itself. So
no, but it could cost the same amount.
Right. And how much is the discless one? $399?
The Oculus Quest?
No. So I'm talking about PS5.
Oh, $399.
Okay.
The disc version of the PS5 is $499.
So do you want to make a little guess? So how much this thing is going to cost? I'm going to say, $349.99 seems like a sweet spot. It seems very high, but I think Sony could get away with it. Ideally, I'd like to see $299. How much was the PSVR?
I believe PSVR was $399. It was the same price as a PlayStation.
You're right.
So I think that PSVR 2 is going to probably also be $399.99.
Oh, yeah.
In the United States.
It'd be hard to imagine that they lessen it by $50. I like the sound of $349. I think that's an attractive, sexy number.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's
good. I'll hold on to my attractive sexiness of $349.99.
I think people out there listening to this story are probably going, I don't really care about PSVR 2 because I can't even get my hands on a freaking PS5.
I know. You know what? I guess that's a good thing for us folks who have one. I mean, supply and demand, right? You know what I mean? That's terrible. We're getting so many bad comments right now. Never mind.
No, I don't think it's terrible. I think that Sony is trying to future-proof their business by wanting to keep the people who are already in the ecosystem continuing to spend money. And the early adopters typically spend money on things like new technology like PSVR 2. But I don't think that it's a bad thing to say. I just think people are probably looking at Sony going, hey, maybe prioritize your manufacturing process on doing more consoles instead of VR. But I believe the chipsets are clearly very different. And I don't know when globally the chip shortage that everybody is experiencing, from game manufacturers to automobile makers, is going to really kind of rectify itself. I feel like we're probably at least a couple of years away from that chip shortage.
Oh, that's,
you know, coming back.
It's fucking awful.
So, yeah, it's sad.
I wanted to briefly go back to the headset itself, because there's this one feature in here that I thought was really interesting, and it's the sense technology. So, okay, here we go. Headset feedback is a new sensory feature that amplifies the sensations of an in-game action from the player. Okay, what does that mean? Gamers can feel a character's elevated pulse during tense moments, the rush of objects passing close to the character's head, or the thrust of a vehicle as the character speeds forward. Now, what I think should happen, Andrew, Renee, is I think PlayStation should partner with a partner that they've, you know, worked with a lot, which is Capcom, and they need to put Resident Evil Village in VR, and that sensory feature we can get can be the heartbeat coming straight from Lady D's bosom. Let me just sit.
I like where your head's at.
Literally, in her tits, hopefully, if I'm lucky. But, you know,
I wouldn't put it past Capcom.
Give me a step stool. I'll step on that, and I'll look up, and she'll just be right there. Actually, you might not even be able to see her face because her boobs are going to be in the way. It doesn't matter. That's the long neck I want.
I feel like that game has got to have a VR port in the works,
right? Oh, for sure. I mean, look at 7, right? Like that, yeah. It has to. It fucking has to. It would be so, so good. It would just be so good. I thought that was an interesting feature, though. I don't know how much I want to feel someone's elevated pulse in my head, though. But, you know, okay.
No, thanks. No, I'm good.
Sounds a little
intense. Already scary enough to have to feel like you're inside the game in virtual reality. I don't need all the extra bells and whistles. I actually have turned a lot of the haptic feedback off in a lot of games that I've played because it's been a little aggressive feeling.
Yeah.
I think that the novelty of it that we saw at launch was really interesting, and clearly the technology is cool, and I think it's going to be realized in really interesting ways from developers as we go into this new generation. But I find it very distracting and sometimes really in a very bad way. Like it detracts from my enjoyment of what I'm playing.
Yeah.
Because it's like too much. The sensory experience is like, uncomfortable in a way.
Yeah, and you know what else I'm not really a fan of is the adaptive triggers. I thought I would like that more, but I think I already have, like, seriously, like, pre-arthritis in my hands. And so when I have to push extra hard to pull back a bowstring, while it feels cool the first few times, it actually becomes a very big annoyance later on. So I'm sure there's a way to turn it off already, but as long as I can fix that too, I'll be happy. Because, you know, these little fingers, Andrea, they're just, you know, they've been through some shit. You know what
they
I mean?
They have. They've aged on a cellular level.
Ooh.
That's what happens when you give birth to somebody. I don't know if y'all knew that. Can age you by up to 11 years.
I did not know that much. Okay, cool.
Listen, I spend too much time looking at
I'm trying
things.
To live in my ignorant
I wake
bliss.
Up and I'm like, why do I feel so old? Oh, I'm going to blame everything on my baby now.
That's way to do it.
Get used to it, kid. All right, let's continue on with some more CES 2022. But before we do that, I want to let you know that this episode of What's Good Games is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. The new year is a great time to focus on what's most important to you, whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or maybe you're prioritizing your wellness. HelloFresh is here to help with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. HelloFresh is 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality, and you can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. That's more money to put towards those other 2022 goals of yours, like maybe playing more video games, or reading more books, or maybe, you know, volunteering more, whatever your goals are. HelloFresh offers 50 menu and market items to choose from every week, including veggie, calorie smart, family friendly, and gourmet options, and plenty of variety. Recipes like the hibachi sweet soy bavette steak and shrimp brings that restaurant quality meal right to your kitchen. Have you had this one, Britt?
I have not, but it sounds fucking fudge and delicious. Excuse my French. I got excited.
The bavette steak that we've ordered, the gourmet meal, is really good, but I'm still obsessed with the Parmesan chicken with couscous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. One of my faves. All right, everybody. If you're hungry like I am now and you want to get in on HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/What's Good 16 and use our code What's Good 16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. You can try America's number one meal kit for yourself by going to HelloFresh.com/What's Good 16 and use the code What's Good 16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Make sure to use our code so they know that What's Good Game sent you. So, Brittany, CES is kind of a large smattering of different kinds of consumer news. I mean, there's concept cars, there's wearables, there's even like smart home stuff, but clearly we're focusing mostly just on some high-level gaming news. So if y'all are interested in getting more of a top-level view of what's happening at CES, I would recommend going to some more tech-focused outlets. I did do Twitter Spaces on my Twitter account talking about CES. So if you guys are interested in checking out that conversation, the recording is in my feed at Andrea Renee on Twitter if you're interested. But I did want to mention, since you mentioned GPUs and how your GPU kind of
shit the bed
earlier, that there was clearly some GPU news coming out of CES. And the ones that I wanted to specifically mention was this new budget RTX 3050 from NVIDIA, which is a graphics card starting at just $249.
Holy crap.
So, right? So you hear that price and you're like, how is that even possible to get a graphics card? It must not really be powerful. Right? But it's from NVIDIA's RTX line, which is their premier line of graphics cards. Now, not only did they announce their new budget option, but of course they announced their new shiny high-end option, which is the, I believe, the 3090 Ti, quote, a monster of a GPU. But what's interesting about, you know, these different two ends of the spectrum, and something that we talked about in my Spaces, is regardless if you're going for the low end or the high end, graphics cards all around have been very difficult to get during the pandemic. Yeah. And a lot of them have been going for many times their MSRP price if you get them on places like eBay or other, you know, third party sellers. So I think what's going to be interesting to watch is if companies like AMD, who also announced some GPUs, and NVIDIA are going to be actually be able to keep these in stock and sell them at their listed price instead of for thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, we were seeing GPUs go for $5,000 and up over the last couple of years because of the pandemic. It's just bonkers what's happening in the PC parts market.
I think in every market, it's just being so thrown around right now. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, I know almost nothing about GPUs except for I learned the ports can die out. So did they say how much the big boy costs? The big one that you talked about?
So they did not give a price for the big one. They also did not give a release date because, you know, it's smarter than not to put a release date on if they're not going to be ready. So the RTX 3090 Ti, according to NVIDIA's Jeff Fisher, the monster of a GPU, is set to land early in 2022, they say. And it has the most powerful Ampere GPU, and they are putting that into its graphics cards. So what I'm trying to get to, like, the succinct kind of elevator bite pitch or whatever, as to what makes this one the most powerful graphics card.
Probably some that fancy numbers, some fancy tech. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whirly gigs and gadgets.
Oh,
and
here we go. The GA102 GPU offers a monstrous 10,752 CUDA cores, packing the same 24 gigabytes of GDDR6X video memory as the OG card. That said, NVIDIA is pushing the VRAM a little harder to the tune of 21 gigabytes per second versus the 19.5 gigabytes per second of the original RTX 3090. In terms of performance, we're talking 40 shader TFLOPs, putting it almost 5 TFLOPs above the straight RTX 3090.
I was was going to find an audio clip.
Did you catch all that?
I was going on my phone. I was going to find an audio clip of Charlie Brown's teacher talking to him because I feel like that's exactly what I just... I mean, real talk, though. I mean, I've talked about this. Seriously, I need to get PCs for Dummies. Do they still make those books? I feel like that's what I need in
my life. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something I really need to learn because, you know, it's very near and dear to the industry that I love and cover so much. But fuck, man. What was that one word you said? Yeah. Charcuterie? That first one at the beginning? What was it? It was like some
Cuda course.
Yeah, charcuterie course. Let's go. Okay. How many charcuterie courses does my PC have? I have to know.
Amazing. No, it's funny. Like, I don't understand most of these really high-end technical specs either. Clearly, people aren't listening to us here at What's Good Games for our PC savant knowledge. If you are, I'm really deeply apologize. You are in the wrong place. But we are glad that you are here anyway. And if you guys want to learn all about everything that was announced, PCGamer.com has a really good rundown of all of the best PC gaming news that came out of CES. So you guys can pull that up and take a look at it. But I wanted to just briefly mention that because, you know, CES is such a big show, and it's generally when we see a big showing specifically from companies like AMD and NVIDIA. And I wanted to mention NVIDIA also because of GeForce Now. So Samsung announced the Samsung Gaming Hub, which is an aggregate for all of the cloud gaming services that are out there. Now, they haven't announced all of their partners, but they did announce GeForce Now and Stadia. And there was one more that I did not recognize, but they didn't announce Xbox's streaming service. Hmm. So what I think is great about this is that what this means is that now we're seeing more cloud gaming services coming to smart televisions instead of needing like a separate stick to go or a console to go into your TV. So right, when Stadia launched, you could not stream on Google Stadia directly from a smart TV. You had to have a Chrome
Chrome. Oh my God. The thing that you plug in.
Stick.
Yeah. Chrome.
Oh my gosh. Why am I having a blank about what
Chrome,
that thing is called?
Chrome. Oh my God.
It's literally just blanking. What
the
out.
And it's the most simple name ever. Chromecast.
Chromecast Ultra. There it is. You had to have a Chromecast Ultra plugged into your television in order for it to work. And I was like, why do I have to have this thing plugged into my TV? Why can't I use, if it's all cloud-based, why can't I use an app? And so now we're seeing those apps starting to roll out on TV. So I want to mention that GeForce Now was actually in beta on LG televisions last year, and now it's coming to Samsung TVs in 2022. And I imagine it's going to roll out to other smart TV operating systems throughout the year and obviously into 2023. I think what's fascinating about watching this is because I don't want to say that we've always just kind of poo-pooed cloud gaming here at What's Good Games, because we haven't. But I think we acknowledge that it has so much potential to be really a phenomenal platform for people, but really it's not fully realized
yet.
That's
it, yeah.
Now, I think that, you know, my position still stands that cloud gaming is forever going to be handcuffed by our ISP and internet infrastructure. Wherever you live is always going to dictate if you're going to have a good cloud gaming experience, no matter how good the processing farms on the back end of either the Azure, you know, system or the Google Stadia system or whatever, you know, the GeForce system, whatever one you're using, whatever your internet is just always going to bottleneck what that gaming experience is going to be. Now, until that gets rectified, and we can get some better ISP infrastructure, particularly here in the United States, I'm not sure that cloud gaming is really going to take off. But I do love to see that they're expanding the platforms and bringing it to smart televisions, because when I want to sit down and play a game, I typically don't want to play a game that's designed for PC or console on my phone. I want to play a mobile game designed for the small screen on my small screen. So I'm really happy that, you know, this is happening, and I'm interested to see how it's going to work, because I have a Samsung TV at home, so I'm planning to check it out, and I will report back on my findings, everybody, because I still have my Stadia
subscription. I do, too. I forgot. I know. Oh, you still have the subscription?
Yeah, I think so. I think I just never turned it off.
Yeah, Jason made me do that. That's one of my biggest faults as a human, is I subscribe to something and I forget to turn it off. I am the reason why those subscription services take off.
If John Drake was here, he would say there's a term for that. for capturing people who subscribe to something and then forget about it and then just keep paying it because they keep forgetting about it. There's like an actual like marketing term.
I thought it was idiot, people. But there's an actual term. Oh.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's okay.
Not an idiot.
Oh my God.
You're just not optimizing your finances.
Oh, I know. But you know what? Optimizing my time. It takes time. It takes like 30 seconds to go and cancel that subscription, you know? And then they make it really hard. And then it's like, you know what I could have done with that time? Watch half an episode of Judge Judy. You know what I mean? Order to Chipotle. Yeah. Just putting that out there.
There you go.
But no, that's exciting. I hadn't heard about that. And I think that's one of the really fun parts about doing this show and covering, you know, video game news and gaming as a general is, you know, you watch ideas in their infancy. And when Google Stadia was announced, again, not going to kick that horse. It's very dead and it's died many, many times. We were always thinking like, this is a cool concept, but it's not fully realized. It's too early. There's too many limitations, like you were saying. But now we're slowly seeing people optimize the platform. And hopefully, I mean, like, I don't think cloud gaming is going anywhere. I mean, obviously, I think it's like the future, you know, to an extent. And I think it's going to eventually get to a spot where it's going to become like a mainline, streamlined thing. And it's not going to be a pain in the ass. So it's like we're watching little babies grow up, Andrea, right before our very eyes, except for the babies are born from kajillion dollar industries. You know what I mean?
Yep. That is absolutely true.
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have just a couple more bits of news that we wanted to talk about. Mass Effect Legendary Edition is coming to Xbox Game Pass on January 6th.
Ah,
surprising
shit.
No one.
I know.
EA, of course, has a longstanding partnership with Xbox Game Pass, so it's only a matter of time. Not only that, you can also get Rainbow Six Extraction, which is a surprise to me, coming to Game Pass on its release day, January 20th. I think that game is absolutely going to benefit from the install base of Xbox Game Pass, because I think that game is, you know, in a very crowded field of
PvE.
Co-op shooters. Yeah.
Yeah, we just had Back 4 Blood on there, and there's another one coming to Game Pass. And another game that's coming is Nobody Saves the World, which is Drinkbox Studios' next game, which I thought it was a really cool announcement. Game Pass, man, it's just wonderful. It's a cool thing. But if you haven't played Mass Effect yet, do it for me. I so badly wanted to play Legendary Edition when my kid was born. I tried, Andrea. I tried sticking that two-week-old baby on my lap. Oh, no.
Ooh, shiny.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I never finished the Legendary Edition either because, you know, I was in the hospital and then there was an infant. But I will get to it eventually.
Yes.
I will have my perfect Mass Effect run, and it'll be glorious and wonderful. I just want to take my time with it, you know? I don't want to feel rushed. I don't want to feel like I have to, you know, do it because obligation. I want to be able to come back to it and be like, this is like a nice, like, you know, like you say, like comfort food.
Yeah.
But video game.
Yeah. LOL, LOL.
Yeah.
See your kids in college when that happens. It's fine.
Yeah. Also, we didn't mention this when we were talking about Sony, but they announced that Ghost of Tsushima has sold over 8 million copies.
Hot damn.
They mentioned that film adaptation is now underway.
Oh, I didn't hear about the film thing, or have we already talked about that before? Film?
Well, it was briefly mentioned a little while back.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was like rumored, but they confirmed I thought they confirmed it already, but so film adaptation underway, and then they talked briefly about they just confirmed again that production is happening on the Twisted Metal TV series.
Oh, that's
and then
right.
Of course the Last of Us television series, and then they showed a new clip from the Uncharted movie because they brought Tom Holland out, you know.
Spidey.
Sony poster boy.
Spidey. Okay, yeah. So last March, it was announced that the Ghost of Tsushima movie, I don't remember anything from that time. I was very pregnant. Give me a pass.
Yes.
On the Twisted Metal TV series. I just got to say, I know a lot of people are poo-pooing on the Twisted Metal TV series. I think there's so much potential. And yes, I'm probably looking at this through rose-colored glasses because I love Twisted Metal. It's one of my favorite IPs. Granted, like, I only really, really love Twisted Metal 1 through 3, but it is just so much fun. I think there's a lot of potential there for some, like, stupid action. Again, I think if you go into these things thinking you're going to get, like, the next big blockbuster hit, you're just going to be sorely disappointed. I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, history has taught us. Just look for a fun time. You're not trying to find your soulmate. You're just looking for a good romp in the sheets. You know what I mean? Just keep those expectations in check.
A good romp in the sheets. And on that note, let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. Stick with us, everybody. I'll see you in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. Brittany and I realized that in the month of December, we did not do our Patreon shoutouts. So we're going to do our Patreon membership shoutouts right now before we get into what we've been playing as a thank you to everybody who supports us and supports our voices in video games. We know it's been a rough couple of months missing our trio, and also, you know, having the struggle of managing motherhood, and the fact that you guys still support our show and still support our voices in gaming really means a lot to us. So without further ado, Brittany, let's get started with our Chewie's godson.
Justin Foshi.
Punctified. Matthew Goodair.
Alex Dragopoulos.
David Iacolucci.
Daniel Hull.
Jim D.
Jason Look.
Mick, the nanobiologist, Abramson.
Professor Woke.
Nathan Watkins.
Tara Bruno.
Melanthius Owens.
Patrick Higgins.
Tyler McCall.
Pete Shoemaker.
Bill Stilwell.
He's on the mech.
Molly Bittner, who got a new job, by the way. She works at That's No Moon. Congrats, yeah, Molly. Welcome to video game development.
Woo! Jessica Bloom.
Tobias Mitchell.
Jake Phineas.
Phineas?
Fenhua? Fenez? Don't know. Paul Scott Kavanaugh.
Nathaniel Edison.
Michael Jaffrey.
Bill Rosas.
Tyler Adams.
Little Chew.
Erskine James.
Casual Blasphemy.
Trick 24.
Sean Little.
Langry.
Omega 3.
DK2112.
Maroon.noon.
Kevin Brown.
Alexandre David.
Dracos 3442.
You skipped Eric Z, but I got you. Eric Z.
I'm sorry, Eric. I did not mean to skip you. Christine Gummins.
Californicated.
Storm and May.
Trent Berry.
Sean I.
Elizabeth Douglas.
Brian R. Johnston.
Patrick Landry.
Rob Leonard.
Brian Harper.
Bernie Zhang Pao Monsanto.
Kenneth Stimmel.
Even Flow 2.
I love that. Trent Pennington.
Emily Kent.
Patrick Willa.
Noel Navarez.
Joe Wilson.
Devin Nitz.
Adriana Rock Williams.
Shy Jackson Burgess.
Renee Burns.
Samantha Yvonne.
Giselle Bassa.
Gary Peck.
Dale Sun.
Robert F. Frimery.
Kyle Milne.
Milne.
Marcus Ian Brown.
Joe Kennison.
Teresa Ener.
Andrew Cotton.
Kia B.
Elmo Shell.
Gio Corsi. Nicole Humphrey.
Stephanie Fitzwilliam.
John Drake.
And Trevor Stocking.
It's so wonderful to see so many of these names have been supporting us at this tier since we launched back in May 2017. So thank you, everybody. And thank you to all of those people who support us and to everybody who has supported us by leaving us reviews. We appreciate that, too. Those 5-star reviews really make a difference, everybody. All right, without further ado, let's talk about what we've been playing. So, Brittany, it looks like you've been playing a lot of the same.
A lot of the same. Andrea, when you saw me in 2021, I was in the Hinterlands in Dragon Age Inquisition. In 2022, yes. I am still in the Hinterlands in Dragon Age Inquisition.
Never leave the Hinterlands.
Oh my God, I only have maybe 10 more quests in the Hinterlands and then I'm done. I was curious to know what my playtime was, but what I found out is Quick Resume doesn't turn off the in-game clock. So it was like 340 hours or something like that.
You were like, wait a minute.
I hope not. Or I'm blacking out a lot and I don't remember anything. I'm still just playing Dragon Age. I've kind of gotten back into my whole Dragon Age kick. I'm starting to read the Dragon Age books again, starting with The Stolen Throne, which tells how King Merrick took over from the Orlesian Empire, and Loghain's in there, and Rowan, and it's a really good, all the Dragon Age books, I think David Gator wrote this one, are fantastic. So if you haven't read them and you're curious about Dragon Age lore, you just got to read them. They're really, really fantastic. So I'm playing more Dragon Age. Still playing Final Fantasy IX. Yeah, that's my treadmill game. So about an hour a night.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, I listen, you know, like you said, this year has been hard. Last year was hard. I'm all for comfort gaming right now. Whatever soothes my soul, that's what I am flocking to. There's some upcoming releases that I'm really excited about, and then I will be playing newer stuff. But for now, I'm just content. Staying content. So what's fun about Final Fantasy IX, though, is I'm doing a lot of the side stuff that I never did my first go around when I was 13 in like 2001. And that's thanks to the fast forward ability and the level 99, and you can skip random encounters. And I talked about this on the last shit like three shows ago. But there's a certain mini game in there called Chocobo Hot and Cold. And it's essentially hot and cold. You're digging, trying to find these things called chocographs, which then lead you to a certain part on the map. And a chocograph just shows you a little glimpse of the overworld. And you have to go to that location and dig around until you find certain items. And then over time, you upgrade your chocobo. Anyway, the TLDR is that there's a very, very tough optional boss in this game, as there are in a lot of these games, called Ozma. And I never fought him before, but I'm going to give it a shot. And I know for the folks who played Final Fantasy IX, you're cheering and rooting for me right now. I appreciate the help. I am kind of cheating because I do have the level 99 boost on, but I never got to experience that. But the other interesting revelation I had while playing this is I just don't know. I mean, I know how I had the patience back in the day to play these games without the, you know, fast forward ability or the level 99 boost. You know, we were kids. We didn't have shit to do. Like, we didn't have places to be, bills to pay, mouths to feed, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm playing this again, and I'm just like, man, if it weren't for these, and Final Fantasy IX is one of my favorite games, like top 10. And I just don't know if I have the patience, though, to do the random encounters, to do the grinding. I think modern RPGs have done such a great job at making those mechanics more engaging and feel more meaningful. And that's lovely and wonderful. I think of Tales of Arise for one, the most recent example, but gosh, yeah. Like, I just don't know. I keep thinking like, I want to go back and play some of these older games that I never got to, cause I have a PS3 upstairs, and you know that all the PSN games, PSN network games on there are so good. And I have all the PS1 classics on there too. And I really want to just start playing them, but I don't know if I have the patience. I don't think I have it anymore, and it just kind of makes me sad. I feel like I've become an adult. You know what I mean?
Welcome. Welcome to adulthood.
It's so sad, but it is what it is. So, anywho, yeah, just for now, I'm just, like I said, I'm content being content. And then when Dying Light comes out soon and there's some other ones coming out. I mean, we did a whole episode on what's coming out in these first few months, but fuck me if I can remember.
Yes, our most anticipated last week's episode. Oh, yeah, Arceus. So if you guys missed it.
Arceus is coming out in 3 weeks.
Soon. Yeah, this early part of 2022 is pretty stacked. I mean, January is historically really quiet up until like the last week of the month, but February and March are very busy in 2022. So definitely looking forward to that. But I feel you about, I mean, we had a whole conversation about it before we started recording the show today about the challenges that you and I are facing with our, not only our energy levels, but our desire to play something new and the time commitment involved and the kind of stress involved, right? And I think, you know, what I've really struggled with playing games that I mentioned briefly when we were talking in during our What's Good Game Awards episode with Danny and Rihanna was that I just have this like hurdle that's been really difficult for me to get over. Not only just to find the time in the day because, you know, my baby has been particularly demanding and hasn't been the greatest sleeper, but that I just haven't mentally been able to will myself to want to play. And it's been really tough for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've gotten a fair amount of FOMO watching people in our industry, friends of mine who work in media or who run their own Twitch channels or YouTube channels, talking about games or covering games, and me feeling like I'm missing out. But then when time comes for me to sit down and play, I just can't bring myself to turn the system on, whether it's my PC or it's the console, because I just am so drained at the end of the day that all I can do is sit there and watch something really absentmindedly. I can't even watch something really that requires a lot of
thinking.
You know, effort. I still haven't seen the new Matrix movie. So it's like, and it took me like 3 weeks to watch Dune. And I don't know. It's been a really tough time these last 6 months trying to figure out when I'm going to game. And I'm hoping that I can find an equilibrium going into the new year and really kind of figure out, you know, when I'm going to carve out that time for myself. But for now, I'm doing the best that I can. And I hope everybody out there is understanding that Brittany and I are just trying to make it by each week.
I mean, seriously. And we were talking about this, and I totally get where you're coming from. That's why right now I'm playing games that I know make me feel good. And you have to turn on something when you're playing a game. You know, I haven't played a game without critiquing games for a long time. And maybe this is something everybody does who doesn't work in the industry. But, you know, when you start playing something, your mind is always kind of going. It's like, okay, so is this a good feature? Is this bad? How is this working with this? Where is this narrative going? Does this make sense? They did so much better in this last game. Like, it's almost like an active activity, I guess, is what you would say when you're playing something new for review. And sometimes you're going to play something for review that you don't really enjoy. And that happens. But, you know, you feel compelled to at least give it a fair shake. And then at that point, now you're just playing something that you're not super into, but you want to be able to talk about it for the show. And the what we're saying is, yeah, like right now, like it's all about comfort. And this notion of just playing games, booting up a game and just playing something for hours on end, it just doesn't work that way anymore. You know, and it's tough. And thankfully, you know, like I know Dying Light 2, I know Pokemon Legends Arceus. I know those are games that I'm going to absolutely enjoy playing, even if, you know, Pokemon Arceus, I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
It's going to blow your socks off.
Yeah, whatever.
It's going to surpass
whatever
the low expectations that you have set for it.
But no, I mean, it's true. It's like, unless it's something that I know I'm probably going to enjoy, I just don't have the energy to fire it up because it is a mentally taxing activity. And I do hope that it gets better as time goes on. But, you know, like motherhood and being new parents, it's a big fucking deal. And these kids, you know, they are just getting more and more needy as they're getting older. And you can't, I mean, I think when Jace was just a few weeks old, I was able to put 70 hours into Ace Attorney with him just sleeping on me. But you think that little kid wants to just sleep on my lap all day now? Oh, no. Oh, no, he wants to throw shit and pull shit. And so, yeah, it's a whole thing. And we're navigating the waters. And I'll just second what Andrea said is thanks for your patience. We're doing our best.
Yeah, and in regards to coverage for the show, I think Brittany and I are trying to be realistic about what is possible and what is not. And hopefully we're going to be able to lean on some really fun guest hosts who are going to be making appearances on the show over the coming weeks and months to bring other people in and other voices in to help diversify, you know, what you guys get to hear about on the show. But of course, we always are welcoming of feedback, constructive, of course, at contact@whatsgoodgames.com or on Patreon if you want to private message us, or even on Discord. So if you guys, you know, have feedback about games or about the coverage of the show and maybe what you would like to see, you know, we're always all ears. And on that note, let me talk about the game I did manage to play. I played a new game, everybody. So I've had my eye on this game for a while and I just never got around to playing it last year. So it's called The Artful Escape.
Oh.
This is a game created by a small team called Beethoven and Dinosaur. It was published by Annapurna Interactive and it has a amazing cast. And this game, I went in just knowing that it looked cool, but not really knowing what the gameplay was or not knowing what the story was. I just went in kind of blind, and I am pretty glad that I did. So I did pull a little bit of footage to show you because the visuals of this game are just amazing. So this game is currently available on Steam or on Xbox via Game Pass. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, like, do not delay. Play this game before it leaves Game Pass. I'm not sure how long it's going to be in Game Pass, but it was such a delight. I enjoyed my time with this game so much that I played it in a single sitting.
Whoa.
So it took me, I started at about 9 o'clock, 9:30 p.m. at night. I had anticipated just playing like an hour or two and then going to bed, you know, like a responsible adult, because I was going to have to probably get up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the baby. But then I really was having a great time. So I just kept playing. So it took me until about 2:30 a.m. to finish. So roughly 4 to 5 hours of gameplay. And you play as this young man, Francis Vendetti, who battles with the legacy of dead folk legend and the cosmic wanderings of his own imagination. That's the little blurb from the website. He's a teenage guitar prodigy set on a psychedelic multidimensional journey to inspire his stage persona. So essentially, the idea is that you live in this small town called Calypso, Colorado, and there is a folk, what's it called? A folk renaissance, not a renaissance, like a festival happening in your small town to honor your uncle, who is this famous folk singer, and then you're kind of like in the shadow of, and so you're trying to kind of find your own voice and figure out, you know, what you're going to do and who you're going to become. And you kind of have this epiphany, this very psychedelic looking epiphany, where you're like, oh, I can create my own persona and become whoever I want to become. And what's great about that is that it really allows you to kind of customize. And they have a really fun character creator. I'm a little disappointed they buried the character creator a little far into the game. I wish they would have brought it forward in the gameplay a little bit more. But I think, you know, they were trying to show that Francis, this character, is kind of going on this journey. But the visuals in this game are awesome. Now, did I maybe drink an entire bottle of wine when I played this game? Maybe. Maybe I did. Did it enhance my experience? Absolutely.
Oh my God, I love you so much. Oh, I miss you. God.
Oh, I miss you too. But I mean, there's just what I think is really important about the gameplay of this game is that it's gameplay light. It reminds me a lot of the kind of adventure stylings of A Life is Strange, like a very laid back adventure game, but it's 2D. Well, it's kind of like 2.5D. Yeah. So you don't really need to work that hard to find things. By the way, Lena Headey, Jason Schwartzen, Mark Strong, and Carl Weathers, all voice talent in this game, which is ridiculous, right? Like, that's Annapurna's pulling their weight to bring in these heavyweight actors to do VO for this game. But you just kind of wander through these levels. There's no like open world exploration, which I loved. I loved that I didn't have to think about it, that it was linear. I was like, thank God. I don't dislike open world games. Obviously, open world games are great for what they are, but sometimes you just need a tailored experience and a really highly tailored one. And the environments of this game are gorgeous. I took a bunch of screenshots, and the gameplay is super simple. It's mostly just light platforming, and then there's some music beat matching sections. I do wish that they had more beat matching in the game because it's so music focused. There's a thing that you can do is you can hold down the X button, and essentially you can just like strum and wail on your guitar as you're walking through the world.
Oh, that's fun.
And as you do that, it like lightens up and adds all of these things into the background of the environment. Or you can walk through and not play your guitar, and it's a nice like chill kind of background music. And I, of course, was just like holding the guitar button down almost the whole time. And the beat matching sections were very light, let me say. It was not difficult. And I think what's great about that is that it makes the game really accessible. I just wish there was more of them because I really enjoyed it, especially since the music in the game is wonderful. This game, by the way, was nominated for Best Art Direction and Best Music and Best Debut because this is Beethoven and Dinosaur's first game at the Game Awards this year. And so I just really enjoyed the story of Francis, who kind of goes on this psychedelic journey. So you start out in a real place in Calypso, Colorado. Well, real, air quotes. And then you kind of go like through this hidden door, which is kind of this allegory for going into your mind and kind of discovering who you are. And you kind of go on this space journey, and you have to face off against this alien and in a rhythm and music showdown. And it's just, it was really delightful.
I'm happy you played it.
Really enjoyed it.
I'm happy you played it and are talking about it, because I've also heard about it a lot. I just didn't know what kind of game it was, and I failed to do my job as a video game podcast person because I didn't even look into it. But hearing you talk about it, it's absolutely nothing like I thought it would be. I don't know what I thought it would be, but not that. But I think the visuals are the most attractive part about it. But it sounds like it's a nice little bite-sized game that's light on gameplay, that you can drink a whole bottle of wine to and just really enjoy.
Yes.
That sounds perfect.
There's some, the narrative is really great. I was kind of waiting what was going to happen with each scene. I mean, there's nothing like super twisty or turny or, you know, mysterious about it. But I thought it was interesting the way that they did all of the writing and the VO delivery is really well done. And there's some narrative choices you can make, some branching narrative. It's not super impactful in the way that you would think, like the Life is Strange decisions are. It's not like that. It's more like you're just choosing dialogue options more than anything. I don't know how different the playthroughs can become if, you know, you choose different branching options. But what I love about it, though, is that I was looking for something like this that didn't require me to spend a lot of time thinking about what I was going to do. I didn't have to worry, am I making the wrong choice? Am I going to want to go back and replay this? And there's no combat in the game. There is no complicated jumping puzzles. There's no complicated puzzles at all. It's really just like a glorified walking simulator almost.
Yes.
But it feels more like an adventure game than a walking sim. And I just really needed that. And like I said, the visuals are just out of this world, just beautiful. I love the art style. It kind of feels a little bit of like that marionette paper doll look.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The way that he moves around the world, kind of like his joints are moving like at each kind of at the elbows and at the knees in that very paper doll way. And then the cutscenes, you know, kind of had this really cool hand-drawn art style to them. I just really loved the look of this game more than anything. Lots of really punchy colors. You know, when John was watching me play, he said it reminded him kind of theater, stage theater stylings with really like hot spotlights with gel colors.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I never thought about it that way. But it does kind of remind me of that too. But it's very sci-fi wonderland. I just really enjoyed it. And like I mentioned, it's available in Xbox Game Pass right now. So, well, if you have a subscription to Xbox Game Pass, it will cost you nothing to try it out. It's also available on Steam if you guys prefer to play it that way as well. But yeah, had a really good time. And it's a game that you can do in a single sitting, or you can do in a couple sittings if
good
you want.
Good for you. I wonder if you can find out what other games are like that. And maybe that's just kind of your bread and butter for now, you know?
Yeah, well, there definitely is no shortage of indie games that I definitely want to be playing.
Yeah, it's just finding the right one.
So I stuttered there for a second because I thought I heard something and then I remember that there's some construction happening outside my studio. Apologies, everybody. But I'm glad that I got to play something new, and I'm glad I got to play something indie. Always love, you know, seeing really cool debuts from small teams. And when we were watching the credits, I think it's really indicative just how small some of these teams are when you watch the credits go by, and it's like the whole departments are just like three people.
Wow.
And, you know, it was really amazing to me that they were able to pull such phenomenal voice talent for such a small first-time outing. I think that's really the power of a publisher like Annapurna Interactive coming in and saying, hey, we really like the artsy vibe of this game and we want to, you know, pump some funding into it that, you know, this team otherwise might not have had access to. So if you're interested, check it out. I had a great time with it. I really enjoyed it.
Good for you, baby girl. You did it. Now you have a new fire under your ass to go play more games. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try not to play more Animal Crossing. I did boot up it once because I was like, oh, it's holidays and toy day is happening and all the winter stuff. So I booted it up. I killed all the cockroaches in my house. I went around and said hi to all of my neighbors. And the one islander who I've been trying to get off my island finally was like, I think I'm going to move out. And I was like, yes, finally. I don't have to kick you out myself.
It's a Christmas miracle, bitch. There you go.
Goodbye, at least. Kick her to the curb. So there hopefully will be somebody new there when I get back. But yeah, I haven't picked it up since. One time.
You picked it up to cause destruction, to take some lives of some poor cockroaches, and your work was done.
Yes.
That was it.
Yep. Exactly. Just got to keep the house clean, you know? Keep it clean. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us this week. I want to mention that we are having special guest Chastity Vincenzio back on the show next week. We're super excited to get Chastity back. We haven't seen her in a while. And if you guys have people that you are interested in seeing on the show, we're always taking suggestions. You can tweet to us at @whatsgood_games. You can email us at contact@whatsgoodgames.com. Or, of course, message us on Patreon, on the Facebook fan page, and Discord. Let us know. We do have some fun guests lined up. in the coming weeks and months. So should be great. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for us. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye.